in My Mind's Eye, a Thought Diary, written by Jan Morris and read by Phyllida Nash.
Jan Morris, In My Mind's Eye, a Thought Diary. For one and all, kindlily, and yes, there is such a word. Day one. I have never before in my life kept a diary of my thoughts, and here at the start of my 10th decade, having for the moment nothing much else to write, I am having a go at it. Good luck to me. The first thought that strikes me as being worth memorialising entered my mind today, as I drove my dear old Honda Civic Type R, an old friend, into Port Madoc, and on the radio somebody was playing a piano concerto. I sort of knew the tune, but only just, and perhaps what I was remembering came from some other composition altogether. Then it occurred to me how amazing it is that there are still enough unused groupings of musical notes for people to write yet more piano concertos. Won't they ever run out? And isn't it amazing that there are still all too familiar combinations of notes or harmonies, ones I know all too well, that can still bring the tears to my eyes, especially when I am alone driving my car. Nobody to break the spell, I suppose. And perhaps since my first concentration is upon the driving, the music slides in unaware, like another old friend, reminding me of half-forgotten emotions. Day two. In our anguished world of the 21st century, when the United States of America, I have long cherished, is subsumed, like everywhere else, in squalor and disillusion, I often look back nostalgically to the America I first knew, essentially, in my memory, small-town America. I got to know scores of little towns then, scattered across the entire subcontinent. I had a home for a time in one of them, and I grew to think of them generically as examples of everything I most admired about the Great Republic. They were invariably welcoming, almost invariably frank, simple in their loyalties, and, well, very nice. Yes, they were very nice places, I used to think, in a very nice country. And, Jujun, though that sounds now, with better adjectives at my command, I remember their essential niceness still. In those days, of course, 60 or 70 years ago, the mystique of the American small town was more fashionable. Thornton Wilder had made it so with his play Our Town, and popular songs often serenaded it. Like me, they preferred to ignore unhappier truths about Main Street, its likely racism, its probable greed, and possible petty corruption, and remembered only its provincial virtues. I am older and more cynical now, but I still prefer to remember those old stereotypes with the housewives nattering and the volunteers swapping tall tales at the fire station, and the friendly handful of black people and the swanky young bloods showing off when the town pond froze at Christmas. With those fond, if fanciful, memories, too, went a related patriotism, bold but genial, to which I happily subscribed. As a national heritage, I am devoted to my own British past because I like the colour and eccentricity of it, the effrontery, the mixture of greed and benevolence, the admirable, the unforgivable, the bombast and the humour, all of which is still best expressed, I think, by the ambiguous epic of the late British Empire to which I have devoted much of my life. But the Pax Britannica was, of course, famously nationalistic. And when it comes to a profounder kind of patriotism, it strikes me that the old American sort was far grander and truer, based as it was not upon triumphs, but upon the original generous values of the Republic.